Joining us from the Black River Astronomical Society is Steve Schauer. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm great.
Good.
Brought you on this week to talk about the Perseids.
Yes.
This is something that happens annually, right?
Yes, it's an annual event. It all starts with a comet, actually, that's called Comet Swift-Tuttle, which is a big beast. It's the largest object that we know of that repeatedly passes by the Earth. The nucleus of that comet is about 16 miles across. Last went by in 1992, and I think it comes by next in 2126. So it's 134 years it repeats. And it leaves behind dust and debris, which also have an orbit. And when Earth passes through this debris field, we get these meteors every year, usually right around the 10th or the 12th. Of August.
Now, is this something where the debris is hitting something in our atmosphere and causing this light show?
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. These are little bitty pieces of dust and rock, usually about the size of a grain of sand. And as they burn up in our atmosphere, you get that brief burst of light. Some of them, they're usually fairly fast, but every now and then you'll get one that's very slow that'll leave a trace, you know, halfway across the sky. Those are really fun to watch. They move about 37 miles a second, so they're really moving.
So the light we're seeing is coming from something that's only the size of a grain of sand, or is it a collaboration of all little grains of sort of?
Well, each little dot, each streak that you see is one grain of sand.
Wow.
These debris kind of have an orbit, and this orbit goes out past Jupiter. And the way orbital mechanics work, sometimes these debris get a little closer to Jupiter than others, depending on where Jupiter is in its orbit. And when they get closer, Jupiter's tremendous gravity kind of concentrates these debris. They move closer, they get denser. And then when Earth comes through this denser debris field periodically, we get what's called an outburst. And these orbital mechanics are complicated. We've only had the computational power to try to predict these since the late 1990s. But they have an outburst predicted for this year. Usually at the very peak, you get maybe 80 meteors an hour. There are predictions of 150 an hour this year. I've seen a prediction up to 200 an hour. I'm a little skeptical of 200 an hour. But that could mean, two or three a minute.
This is, I guess, their peak, at least what I was looking at, is somewhere around August 11th and 12th. Is that correct?
Right. The peak should be the 12th. The best time to see them, unfortunately, is after midnight. That's when we kind of turn into the plane of the orbit of all the debris. But we started going through the debris cloud on July 17th, and we won't clear the cloud until August 24th. So really, any night you're out, you should see a few. One of our sister astronomy clubs had an event last Saturday night, and I think we saw five just looking up. We just kind of randomly saw five or six, but the night of the 12th, it might be a real show. I get a little skeptical of these reports of, 200 blazing across the sky, because as good as our people are, and one of the predictions of 150 an hour is made by a NASA meteor expert named Bill Cook, and anybody who works for NASA is going to be pretty sharp. But it's like predicting the weather. You're dealing with a natural phenomenon, and they don't always do what the numbers say they're going to do. But even if we got 150 an hour, that would be fun.
I have a quote here from Bill Cook. I was looking. He says, "Here's something to think about. The meteors we'll see this year are from comet flybys that occurred hundreds, if not thousands, of years ago. They've traveled billions of miles before their kamikaze run into Earth's atmosphere." There's always something, I don't know, timeless, historic, when you see things from space. It gives you kind of an odd perspective of what you're really looking at.
It truly does. I will freely admit to anybody who wants to listen that I don't think I have the mind to understand the tremendous distances involved in space. And when you're talking about light from a star reaching us right now that left 100,000 years ago, that just boggles me. It's part of what makes astronomy really interesting. Anybody can see the comets, the meteors. The nice thing about a meteor shower is you need no equipment. You don't need a telescope, don't need binoculars. Try and find a place as dark as you can, and I will mention we are having an event that I'll mention if you'd like.
Sure.
But get someplace where it's dark and just look up.
It is 8:51 at AM 930 WEOL. I got back on the line Steve Schauer from the Black River Astronomical Society. It's funny, Steve, we can sort of see things from light years away, but sometimes when we're trying to communicate here within a short distance, technology doesn't always allow for that. But we are back together again.
Right.
What's the event that you have related for the Perseid viewing?
Well, we have public observing sessions, public star parties, twice a month. And we timed this one deliberately to be the night of the Perseids. So we have a public star party this Friday. It's going to start at 10, simply because it doesn't get dark until about 10. And we're scheduled to go to midnight. If it's a clear night and the meteors are performing, we will stay till at least 1, and maybe a little later than that. Our observatory is at the Lorain County Metro Parks Carlisle Reservation off Nickel Plate Diagonal Road. We're not at the Visitor Center. We're a little farther down the road at the Equestrian Center. There's a long drive in, and then finally there's a parking lot off on the right. People should park in that lot and then walk over to the observatory, which is directly across. There's a paved walkway over there. And we will be there. We will have telescopes. We have 2 14-inch telescopes in a building where the roof rolls off. So we will have telescopes set up to look at other things. We can show people Jupiter and Saturn and Mars, for example. But just to sit down and look up is all you need for the Perseids, and we will talk about those and answer questions.
You mentioned, and before we just got connected, the last thing you were talking about is the viewing. You think sitting in a chair and with your neck back is not the most easiest. What do you suggest? Sort of laying down on the ground, looking straight up, or what's
yeah, the... you can certainly do that. And, you know, lying on a blanket, or if you have cushions for outdoor chairs, lying on the cushions or an air mattress, just in case the ground is either cold or wet. Or if you have a chaise lounge, a lounge chair where you can just lie back, that's really comfortable. Might need a little bug spray, depending on if it's really humid. We might get some mosquitoes. Sometimes a blanket if it gets chilly. There are people I know who are going to camp out all night and just kind of watch these, you know, if they have a camping area and that kind of thing. But, yeah, just lying back on the ground or on a lounge chair is really all you have to do. And hopefully we could get, you know, a couple, maybe 2 a minute, 3 a minute, maybe if this is a really big outburst.
It's called the Perseids because it what happens in where Perseus is that the constellation that we would be seeing most of this action taking place?
Yeah, the meteors will really go in every direction. They'll go north and they'll go south, but they appear to start from the constellation Perseus. That'll be right on the horizon about 10 and then gradually becomes farther overhead as the night goes on. You know, a lot of people have astronomy programs on their smartphones where they can hold their phone or their tablet up and it'll tell them what they're looking at. But even if you don't have any idea where Perseus is, you'll still see the meteors. They instantly attract your eye, and you really just look up and try and take in as much sky as possible is the trick.
And on occasion, I'll look in the sky and see what I think is a shooting star. Sometimes it's on my peripheral or whatever. I'm never quite sure. But shooting stars happen most all the time, or is there only a certain condition where you may see some?
No, you do indeed see them all the time. Those are called sporadic meteors. And it's not unusual if we're out doing an observing session, a public star party, and we're out for 2 hours, 2.5 hours. You see maybe 3 or 4. last Saturday at this event another astronomy club had, we were using an 8-inch telescope in a building, and all of a sudden there was just this roar from all of the astronomers who were outside. A meteor came over that was very slow and really bright, and everybody just went, wow, and of course we missed it.
Well, but, sure.
That may have been a Perseid.
Yeah, there's a timing involved in sort of stargazing sometimes, being able to know to look in the right area at the right time, and of course you're well enough to not confuse an airplane or any other kind of other thing in the sky with what you're looking at, obviously.
Yeah, aircraft are going to be pretty slow compared to the meteors because, again, they're moving 37 miles a second, so it's a bright, fast streak. There's several showers a year, but a lot of them is 10 or 12 of them. But a lot of them, there's a very good shower called the Quadrantids in January. But in Ohio in January, there's about a 90% chance it's going to be totally cloudy. There's a shower in December called the Geminids that you'll get maybe 120 an hour. But again, once we get into December, we get into the typical Lake Erie cloudy weather, and it's pretty unlikely the sky's going to cooperate.
Well,
but the Perseids are usually one of our most reliable.
Well, and also, I guess the moon is cooperating with us this month, too, related to the peak viewing time.
Yeah, that's correct. The moon should be setting around 1 o'clock in the morning, and that's probably 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock is going to be the peak of it. And we don't have a huge moon, so that really helps. Yeah, if it's a full moon or if you're in an area where there's a lot of lights around you, as so many of us are, those will wash out some of the dimmer meteors. You'll still see some, but the darker you can get, the more you'll see.
Again, the Perseid meteor shower going on. The peak time is around the 11th or 12th, and after like 1 a.m. in the morning, so make your plans for that. You can also find out more from blackriverastro.org or the Facebook page for the Black River Astronomical Society about all they do as you kind of take a look at what's in the heavens. Our guest this morning, Steve Schauer, thanks for getting back and reconnecting again. Appreciate your time always, Steve.
Thank you, Bruce.
Thanks.